Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue in our studies the seven methods of Bible study, and we are now engrossed in the dispensations of the conditions that God has placed upon man, the different dispensations that he goes through. On our last broadcast, we defined the dispensation as a religious economy. It's a stewardship. It's a manner of life. They condition the life of man upon the earth, these dispensations. And we noticed in our last broadcast, and we wish it, that all of you have tuned in. We trust that all of you have tuned in, and we wish that those who didn't had tuned in, because we introduced the subject under the order of the dispensation of innocence. We went clear back to the Garden of Eden, and God placed Adam and Eve in that garden in total innocence, without sin, but they fell through Satan's subtlety. And then God gave them a conscience to control them. And so we're going to find ourselves in a new situation now. We're going to find ourselves in the dispensation of conscience. And God gave all men a conscience. Adam and Eve became conscious when they ate of the tree of good and evil. And now every one of his creatures has a conscience. But what is a conscience anyway? I think of the most profound definition of a conscience, I heard from a Bible study class. There was a young American Indian who had just been won to the Lord. He was a new Christian. And they were talking about the different experiences of life, and the question about conscience came up. They asked the question of him, "What do you say that conscience is?" And conscience, he says, is a three-cornered plate in my heart. And when I do wrong, it turns around. Can't you think of anything more simple, more profound than that? What an explanation. Now, God gave man a conscience. Now, we'll see how they do under conscience. Now, under conscience, dispensation of conscience began immediately after Adam fell. Now, they had two sons, Adam and Eve, so the years passed. And but before they, let's think of the fact that they were forced out of the kingdom. I mean, out of the Garden of Eden. Now, we read in the third chapter of Genesis, in verse 21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." You remember, when they were made conscious of their nakedness, they made fig leaves to cover up their mistake. God wouldn't let that happen. Now, we read, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Now, where did they get those coats of skins? An animal had to die for them to get their coats of skins. God made the coats. Now, think of what that means. This is typical. This is a beautiful picture of Christ. Christ died that you and I might have a cloak of righteousness. He took away our sins, and he gave us a cloak of righteousness. I heard of a man making a wonderful testimony. He was a dear black Christian. We've talked about American Indian. Now we're going to talk about a black Christian. And this dear black Christian gave his testimony. And he told about how God saved him. And now he says, "I'm all dressed up in Jesus." Isn't that precious? You know, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us the moment we get saved. His righteousness is imputed to us. Our sins were imputed to him on the cross. There are two imputations in connection with salvation. Our sins were imputed, reckoned to Christ on the cross, when he died for you and me. And now, his righteousness, the moment that we believe, 2,000 years later, his righteousness is imputed to us. Now, you know, that is typical, and it is precious. God made them coats of skin, or clothes out of coats of skin. But we read on, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat, live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out man and placed in the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Dispensation of innocence ended in judgment. Adam is forced out of the Garden of Eden and out to till the soil. Well, to make shorten up the story, two boys were born to them, Cain and Abel. And we read of those two boys, after they had grown to maturity, they offered unto the Lord. Now, this is what they offered. We read in the fourth chapter of Genesis, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother, Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, I'll tell you it was some time, they'd grown up. They'd reached the responsibility of worshipers. All right, in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offerings, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now we read of Abel, this offering is mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, verse 4 of that chapter. Listen to it, please. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. Now why did Cain offer a little lamb? Why did he offer a little lamb up to God? He had been told by his parents about the covering of skins. He had been educated. This was now the economy of sacrifice. Yes, they had a conscience helping them against the struggle against evil. But when they sinned, God made a provision. And he did this by faith. Cain ignored that sacrifice. He brought his own sacrifice. God rejected it. It was something that he did. God gave that little lamb life. That was on a different scale altogether. And Cain hated Abel. God gave him. Now he says, you bring a sacrifice and you'll be accepted. He wouldn't do it. He was stubborn and he slew his own brother Abel. Oh, how quickly sin worked in those early days of the history of men. Now this is the start, if you please, of the dispensation of conscience. Did it work? No, it didn't. Now I may say, Cain lived on. God didn't take Cain's life. He had taken Abel's life, but Cain lived on. God gave them another son instead of Abel. Now, Cain raised his posterity, and you know they grew up in his image. The posterity of Cain ignored the sacrifices. They took it from their father. And so this was not a good beginning for the dispensation of conscience, was it? It certainly was not. Now, you know, mankind went on in this dispensation for almost 1,650 years, according to the chronology of Usher, Bishop Usher. They went on about 1,600 years. Now, what happens? I'll tell you what happens. Over in the sixth chapter of Genesis, we read these words. Verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Did his conscience control him? No, he ignored it. Now, there were two lines of people. There was God's line that came up through Seth, the replacement of Abel. There was a godly line that came up that respected the sacrifices and they offered them. But there was another line, Cain's line, And they did not respect, Cain didn't respect the sacrifice. They went on without God. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. 1650 years after the reign of conscience began, that every imagination of his heart was only evil. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I made him. Now here again, this dispensation is going to end in the judgment of the flood. These dispensation ends in judgment. God fails, or rather man fails in these dispensation, but take heart. In the dispensation of the millennium, the seventh dispensation, we're going to read that God's will prevails until the end of that dispensation, and it ends in judgment. Judgment. Now, how has God done with his conscience? Well, our conscience is really wonderful. God gives us a conscience to tell us when we've done something wrong. Do we obey it? Do we listen to it? Now that conscience will tell me that I'm a sinner. You know, God gave them the conscience. And it should serve a good purpose. Our conscience is given to us to make us realize that we're sinners. Why does God make us want us to realize we're sinners? So we will accept his Son who died for us on the cross for our sins. Now some do not like this as teachings of the Word of God. They say, give us something to live up to. Give us some high standards. Don't tell us we're sinners. Our conscience does that. Do we obey it? Do we seek Christ? Do we go to God for the forgiveness of our sins? No, I'm afraid that we don't. Now let's see what happens in the next broadcast in regard to the dispensation of human government after the flood. We'll have to talk more about the flood in the next broadcast, as well as what took place afterward and the reign of human government. Now, let's take these things to heart. The dispensations are both very interesting to me, but very saddening when you see the failure of man to live up to the responsibility, to the stewardship, if you please, that God has given him. Shall we see you at the next broadcast? Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for your word and for its profound teaching. Help us to learn from it. We ask, giving thanks in Christ's name. Amen.